Work in us, Lord. Open our ears to hear what you have to say. Open our eyes to see more of you, Lord. Reveal yourself to us this day. Use us, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your word is not bound.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We send your word forth in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. You know, I've been tested on the things I preach.
Amen.
And I'm no different than any of you. No ministry is. If anything, we get tested more. To him who much is given, much is required. And it's no easier for me than it is for you. Many times it may be harder. The only thing that may make it easier sometimes is the amount of word that I have in me. But that's, you know, God's no respecter of persons. You've got just as much freedom, just as much right as I do. You've got a Bible, you've got just as much. You know, time, we all have the same amount of time. You can put the word in you. But however, you know, the more word you have in you, the easier it is to overcome.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Because the more word that you labor to put into your mind, and then it, you know, if you meditate on it, it'll get down in your heart. But what really makes it alive is when the Holy Spirit makes connection with the word that you have in you. If you don't have any word in you, though, the Holy Spirit doesn't have anything to work with, because he works in oneness with the word of God. See, the letter alone kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if he doesn't have anything to work with inside you, then you can't overcome. People can be saved without the written word. Without a Bible. If you go into a country where there's no Bible and they don't let you take yours in, somebody can get saved. An angel could appear to someone and they could be saved. They could tell them, you know, about Jesus. Of course, he is the living word. But I'm saying without the written word. But the thing is, you cannot be victorious without this word. Without the written word. I've been asking the Lord to reveal to me about the written word for years. Because when I started out, when I first got saved, back in 79, a minister tried to minister to me. And they got me in this room by myself, you know. And he started telling me what I needed to do. That I needed to repent. And I needed to be baptized. And I needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, the Lord has to tell me. God has to speak to me. He said, well, he is right here in his word. This is his word. The Bible is his word. And he's speaking to you right here in his word. I said, that's just a book. See, I was trying to understand with the carnal mind. The carnal mind cannot understand the things of God. And I wasn't born again, so I didn't have the Spirit of God in me to give me the understanding. So I said, that's just a book. I said, God has to speak to me. And he kept on, and I was real stubborn because I had to be convinced in my own self, in my own mind. I had to be convinced. Finally, the Lord told him, hush. He told me later that the Lord told him just to hush, that the Lord would deal with me. And the Lord did. He was gracious to me because I was stubborn. But I had to know for myself. I couldn't take somebody else's word for it. And to me, this was just a book. I had a lot of books. And I was maybe a little too well educated. I had so many books. And then the Lord himself He is so merciful. He is so merciful. The Lord Himself, by His Spirit, showed me that is His Word. And then I went back to the minister and I said, I want to be baptized. I want to do what the Word says. I want to do what the Lord says. But the thing is, I was saved without the Bible. I determined I wasn't going to read the Bible. I didn't want to be influenced. And I determined I wasn't going to listen to any man because I didn't want to be influenced. So God had mercy on me, and Himself, He came to me and showed me the truth. Himself. But without this written word, so I've been for years asking the Lord, what does the written word, where is the connection here? You know, Jesus is the Word made flesh. What's the written word? You know, you say the letter kills and the Spirit kills. What does the written word have to do with it? And He has begun, finally, after many years, to reveal the mysteries and the secrets of this written word here, which I've believed up here for a long time, but didn't have the full revelation of it. You cannot, and what He told me is, you can be saved without the written word if you hear the good news, but you cannot be victorious without the written word. You cannot overcome without the written word. There's no way. You have to have this written word to be victorious in your life. Because if you don't, you won't know what God said about any situation. If you don't know what He said, how can you overcome? So you'll live a defeated life if you don't know what this word says.
Amen.
But if you labor to read this word, to study, not just to read it like a storybook, it's not a storybook. It's not like any other book. It is not like any other book. This word, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. So when you put this word in you, it'll bring life. Because the Spirit of God quickens that word and makes that connection, because the Spirit and the Word are one. Just like I've said so many times that we are three-part beings, spirit, soul, and body. God Himself is a three-part being. Yet you look at me and you only see one. God Himself is a three-part being. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And we need to know all three and understand all three and walk in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, if we just had this word and didn't have the Spirit, it would be all a mind thing. And that's the way it is with some people. And that's the way it is with us sometimes, because we labor so hard to put the word in us, but it's not quite in our hearts yet. A lot of it's just in our minds. That's why sometimes things don't work the way you think they should. But I got something good to show you today. Let's get on to the revelation of the Lord. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Hallelujah. We know all through that chapter, God spoke and it was so. God said and it was so.
Amen.
God said and it was done. Whatever God says is done. But up to this point, there was nothing to interfere with the will of God. Whatever He spoke, it was done, just like that. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth. Isn't that glorious? That God created and desired, it was His will, His desire, His plan, and His heart, for man to have dominion over all the earth. Hallelujah. Let them have dominion over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So over all the earth and all the animals, all the trees, and everything man was to have dominion.
And verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them.
This is the first word that God spoke to man.
Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion. That was God's word to man. Now keep that in mind. Over everything. Over everything. Then what did God say? He said in verse 9, chapter 2, in verse 9, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we all know the story. Skip over to chapter 3. So God's word to man was have dominion over all the earth and everything in it. Here comes the test. Chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The word of the Lord was for man to have dominion. Here comes the enemy and says, did God really say that? Did God really say? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. That was the very opposite of what God had said. The very opposite of what God had said. God said, ye shall die. If you eat it, ye shall die. Plain and clear. The enemy comes along and says, no, ye shall not die. God didn't, he puts doubt. God didn't really say that. He didn't really mean that. It's not really for you. Keep these things in mind. Well, you know what she did. She listened to the lie. That was a lie, wasn't it? It was the very opposite of what God said. She listened to that lie and went ahead. Disobeyed, and they lost all dominion. All dominion. They lost it right there. Because they failed the test. They did not enter in to the dominion that God had planned, to the word that God had spoken. They were not able to enter in to the word that God had spoken because why? They chose to believe not what God had said, but what the enemy had said.
Amen.
And you know it says in verse 6, the woman saw with her eyes that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes to be desired to make one wise. She thought with her mind, well, it's to make one wise. The enemy planted the lie, and then she looked with her eyes and saw what she saw. Oh, it looks good. It looks this particular way. And I think she did her own thinking instead of what God had said. She did her own thinking because God had created man with a will. So what God had spoken did not come to pass, did it? Why? because of unbelief.
Amen.
Jesus went into one village. It says he could not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. God works in conjunction with man. With our will. With our faith. From Genesis to Revelation, this book is based on faith. It's based on believing God. Believing God. Believing what He said. Satan's number one thing from the very beginning is deception. Deception is lying. It says something about that even the very elect, if possible, will be deceived. Deception. He's the father of lies. That is his number one tactic. Deception. Lies. Okay, turn over to Matthew chapter 4. Now keep all those things in your minds. God spoke a word. They chose not to believe what God had said. They chose to believe what they heard with their ear from the enemy, what they saw with their eyes, and what they thought with their own minds. Matthew chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for that purpose. Now, what was God's word to Jesus? God's word to Jesus is, for this purpose. Remember, he said, for this purpose came I into the world. What? To die on the cross. For this purpose came I into the world. That was his purpose. To die for our sins. That was why he was born. Because without that, we couldn't have anything. That was the very purpose for him to be born. He was born to die. He was born for the cross. That was God's word to Jesus. So he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And skip down to 3. And when the tempter came to him and said, he said, if thou be the Son of God, if you're really the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. Command that these stones be made bread. If you're really the Son of God. How often do we get tempted to do what our flesh wants to do? What is God's word to you this morning?
Amen.
According to your need, that's what His word is. Because He fulfills every need. He fills every need. Whatever your need is. If it's healing, the word is, by His stripes you were healed. Period. That's God's word to you. If you need a financial blessing, His word is he was made poor so we could be rich. And there are more, you know, it's full. The word of God is full. You can take one. One is enough. One scripture is enough because there's power in it. But we have more than one. We have lots of scriptures about healing. Hundreds. We have lots of scriptures about prosperity. We have lots of scriptures about peace. And your household shall be saved if that's what you need. Whatever it is you need, the Word of God provides for it. If you don't know it offhand, if you don't know, you know, if you have, maybe you have confusion and you think, well, what's God's Word on that? Well, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. There it is. Whatever your need is, there's a Word of God for you. Now, do you see what we're establishing here? The Word of God. The Word of God to Jesus was for this purpose. You came into the world.
verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus used the word of God on Satan. We suffer in the flesh for the word's sake. It's not because he wants us to suffer. It's not for suffering's sake. Jesus already took the suffering. It's for the word's sake. It talks about that when it talks about the sower going out to sow. And the anxieties, the cares, the troubles, the trials come for the word's sake. For the word's sake. The test came to Adam and Eve for the word's sake. The test came to Jesus for the word's sake. Because he answered with the word. It is written. Go on down. You know the story too here. And verse 6. And saith, let's go with verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up. The devil took him up. Did you notice that? The devil took Jesus up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Oh, now listen what he's doing. The very same trick he pulled on Eve. The exact same trick. For it is written, didn't God say, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. That's from Psalm 91. God had said that. He used the word on him. What was Jesus' answer? He wasn't fooled. He knew how to rightly divide the word. And if you have the Holy Spirit in you, and if you have the word of God in you, the Holy Spirit knows how to rightly divide it too. I had a small, very small test before the Lord gave me this message. I didn't know he gave me the message afterwards. But here he said, the enemy came to me and said, you can't preach the gospel. Because the woman is the weaker vessel. The woman is the weaker vessel. That's the word, isn't it? That's in the word. That the woman is the weaker vessel. And my thought, my eyes, said, oh, well, yeah, I'm not as strong as most men. My thought said, I'm a woman. I'm the weaker vessel. And the Spirit of God then rose up in me and rightly divided the word and latched on to the word that I had labored to put in me and said, Jesus is the same. Jesus is no less, he's no weaker in me than he is in any man. Oh, you're exactly right, Satan. I can't preach the gospel. But Jesus in me is just the same as he is in any man, and he can preach it. Amen. There's no difference in male and female, Jew or Gentile, because it's Jesus. He's the same Jesus in me as in anybody else. Hallelujah. And then the Lord gave me this message shortly thereafter. And that was just a real minor, small test. But it might not have been if I hadn't had the word in me. Then I might have gone downhill. You know, you've experienced that, I have, where he'll put a thought in your mind. Oh, he'll use the word. And you say, yes, it does say that in the word. And then there you go, on and another and another and another and another, until you're just rolling in the negativity and the doubt and the unbelief, and you done forgot what God said. The Lord didn't make any distinction of the 120 that were in the room. He said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You got to open your mouth to prophesy. Anyway. Again the devil, verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then he showed him, Jesus saw it with his eye,
It says he showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. He heard with his ear that he could have all that, yet he remembered the word of the Lord. Jesus could have fallen because he was man. If he couldn't have fallen, the whole thing would have just been a farce. It wouldn't have been real. If he couldn't have been tempted, what would be the purpose of tempting him? He could have chosen to believe the lie. He was tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin. Why? Because he chose to believe what God said. He didn't fail the test as Adam and Eve failed the test and lost dominion. He didn't fail the test. Verse 10, Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then in Mark it says, I believe it's Mark, the same scenario here, it says that he left him for a more opportune time. Those weren't the only times Jesus was tempted. Because he was tempted in every point like as we are. And you can get rid of the devil with the word, but he'll come back and you got to use the word again. And if you just stand there and do nothing, the devil will just beat up on you.